Vanessa, since Kevin Rodd's apology in 2008, how much progress have we really seen on some of these targets that are suggested within the Closing the Gap report?
Well, the progress has been slow, incredibly slow. In the 2020 report, two of the continuing targets are still on track, and that was the target to have 95% of Indigenous four-year-olds enrolled in early childhood education by 2025. And the other target was to halve the gap for Indigenous Australians aged 20 to 24 in year 12 attainment or equivalent by 2020. However, the target to overall close the gap in life expectancy by 2031 is not on track at all.
The indication, the reasoning we've got behind the delay of the Closing the Gap strategy report was COVID-19. What do you make of it? Was that sort of a true cause or something of an excuse at this point?
Well, we do know that COVID-19 had an impact across the whole of Australia and the whole world. So, and being on a lot of the different platforms that look at the data for the policies for the Australian government, for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, it slowed us down a lot. Everything was delayed. So, and even though we moved to online, it was the process of getting people to adapt to being working online rather than face-to-face. So, I can't talk for the Prime Minister. I don't know what his excuse was. But I can honestly say that there was a slowdown in the way we were conducting meetings, because the meetings weren't as regular, because everything went from face-to-face to completely online.
Of course, some of those difficulties, have not only been occurred within that sort of process you mentioned there, but COVID-19 itself has kind of exposed certain inequalities between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples. I mean, we've got anybody over 50 in Indigenous communities considered vulnerable due to higher chronic disease burden versus over 65 in non-Indigenous areas. Do you think the pandemic itself has kind of exposed some of these inequalities that need to be handled?
Yes, in a sense it has. But the burden of disease for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people has gone up. So it's gone up by 2.3 times higher as to non-Indigenous people. And there's an ongoing effect. There's that ripple effect. When we start seeing a high burden of disease on a population, then we start seeing an increase in expenditure. And so we see an increase in pharmaceutical expenditure, for example, because we're trying to reduce the burden of disease in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, which is 2.3 times higher. And I agree with you, COVID-19 has escalated the issue in the sense that it's highlighted what has been missing and what is not being done. And it hasn't given so the government can't hide that everything is now exposed and on the table. Before we'd have parliamentary hearings and taking place and overtaking media. And now it's like, well, this is the reality in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health. And, you know, the other side of it as well, I think we have people like Ken Wyatt, who is actually serious about making the change to close the gap for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and reducing that burden of disease.
One of the other big statistics, obviously, that we talk about when it comes to Australian Indigenous peoples is the rate of children removed from families. And since the apology, again going back to the apology in 2008, the number of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children removed from their families has more than doubled, according to some experts. What role does Closing the Gap play in abolishing that statistic?
I think that comes back to addressing the targets, because when you look at the targets, you know, like, we're not the target to halve the gap in child mortality rate by 2018. We saw progress in maternal and child health, although improvements in mortality rates have not been strong enough to meet the target, and we're still seeing low birth weight implications among babies born to Indigenous mums, which has persisted since 2010, and child mortality rates, even though we've seen a slow progress, the substantial gap still exists between the Indigenous and non-Indigenous populations for infant and child mortality. And, you know, and these are issues that actually need to be addressed, because at the moment what we see is like a significant shift in the way that children, like we're talking about children in out-of-home care. So we're seeing a significant shift in the way that children are actually being put into out-of-home care. Back in 2013, it was 33 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children were removed to 3 non-Indigenous children.
Mm.
And that statistic stuck around for quite a while. And children were being removed into non-Indigenous homes. And then we saw a correlation between children being removed into non-Indigenous homes and high amounts of child abuse. And so now we have organisations like SNAIC, S-N-A-I-C-C, advocating to have Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children put into Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander care so that we can start seeing a reduction in child abuse rates. Start seeing support for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children, and we start reducing the later implications of racism and other social issues and social determinants that cause mental health and eventually results in suicide. So we're starting to see that shift, where the government is starting to sort of acknowledge that, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children in out-of-home care need to go with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families. And we're starting to see across different jurisdictions or states and territories that there's a different means of working out how to remove a child, not just based on a policy that targeted Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. We're starting to see some sort of... because people are questioning it. So we're starting to see some sort of movement in the space.
Mm. Well, we will have to leave it there. Vanessa, thank you very much. Really do appreciate you joining us on this one this morning.
Thank you.